Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is the day after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great one. Joining me, two people I'm really thankful for, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hello.
Good to see you.
I want to talk to folks about the fact that maybe Thanksgiving wasn't perfect or kind of happy producing. And what do you do about that? You know, a lot of times we have these great expectations, what it's going to be like, and it just doesn't quite get there. And you know, I think we have to, first of all, look at, well, were my expectations unrealistic, you know? And then secondly, we have to look at, is this an indication of some undone business? In other words, maybe I've been enabling some things and some people around me, and boy, did they ever crop up, and now it's time for me to get busy and take some action. What do you guys think?
Well, so you're not referring to the fact that I make yams every year and am relentlessly made fun of for my yam puff dish, and nobody eats them almost but me.
Oh, my word.
Why would anybody?
But I keep hoping every year. Every year.
Of your yams.
I know. They're delicious. They're sweet and delicious.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
I think unseen stuff or the unacknowledged stuff comes out on Thanksgiving and Christmas both. Those holidays do a lot.
Yeah, they do. And I think you've got another holiday here coming up. And so you might want to, rather than walk away, which I always do, thinking of how sick everybody is, you might want to say, hey, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe part of this is me, and because that's the cool thing is there's something I can do about me. I can't do much about anybody else.
And what,
so that's
one.
Right, yeah. Are you coming in with these expectations that are somehow going to make up for all the hurt? Like if you have the ideal family holiday, does that then erase the pain? Or how can you go into a situation being, you know, more open and accepting of people right where they're at?
Well, right.
That would be a whole different way of experiencing
it. It would be, right?
Yeah.
Letting go of the expectations of how it's supposed to meet your need, but being there and trying to connect with family members. Sometimes it's only a couple times a year you see these people, right?
But you set in motion some really interesting stuff.
Oh, you can, yeah.
And if you learned that maybe spending 3 days of a three-day holiday with these people, maybe that's just a little too much, then as we're approaching Christmas, the decision might be, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that to me or them or my family. So setting good limits is always something to think about before you go into a holiday season. That's what we want to see you do and come out not only alive, but really feeling like you were blessed during the holidays and you were a blessing to other people. And I think a lot of folks really get off track when they expect somebody else to get better so that they'll feel better. Just usually doesn't happen that way. All right, so we're going to take a little break here. Come right back. Go to phone calls. Glad you're with us here on this day. It is the day after we officially celebrate Thanksgiving, but hopefully it was a great reminder to everybody to be thankful. So many things for us to be thankful for. take them for granted all the time, don't we? But we don't have to. And so let's be focused on all those things that God so richly gives us. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the temple steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas's house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, your phone calls. And here we go to Stephanie, Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I'm a mom of an adolescent son. He's 14. He's been diagnosed with ADHD and ODD since second grade going into third grade. And it's been quite a road. So our experience has been that we face defiance and opposition whenever any demands are placed upon him. And so, of course, with his tendency to, you know, rebel, he's trying to escape the consequences. So I guess my question is, how can we issue the consequences without him, I guess, blowing up, but, you know, trying to comply?
Well, what's one of the things that you might be asking of him that really gives him a problem?
Well, I guess it's typical, you know, to some extent, typical teenage behavior, you know, get off of your devices, can you please do the dishes, you know, just give a hand in a general way here around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right off the bat, it's refusal. Mm-hmm. And so when we then come to a point, okay, well, loss of privileges then, and they are then being executed, we're quickly moving from a somewhat disciplinary situation to verbal threats being issued.
By him,
unfortunately,
by him or
hello?
By you? By him or you guys?
By him.
Okay.
And what's the threat that
he throws
at you there?
Well, the threat is, you know, to the extent of, well, I get it back no matter what. You can't do nothing to me. You know, and we've gone all the way to physical aggression as well.
So he hit you?
So the past 2 years, going on three, we've seen some improvement recently, but the past couple years were devastating.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
is he getting any kind of help? Is he getting any kind of professional help?
Yeah. We have seen to it that, you know, we have him in therapy. We have in-home services. We have PRP in-home service. We have PRP in school. But he's refusing therapy.
He's refusing therapy.
What's his relationship like with his dad?
I guess it is a good one in general, but because of, I don't really know how to explain it, because of his
His behavior.
Tendency and his moods, it is critical because we're always on the edge. We don't know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. And as much as my husband tries, his dad, it's just not working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
Yeah. So they don't. It doesn't sound like they get to like do fun things together. Yeah. Or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very similar in character too, in personality.
Okay.
Okay. So is this a general question of what do you do now that nothing's working, or what?
My desire is peace and harmony in the home. And, you know, whereas my husband is hardworking, owning his own business, he's coming home, he's tired, you know, I guess the dream from my part is just let's all pitch in whoever and let's help one another out.
So that's not a dream.
And most kids don't readily go, oh boy, I'm so excited to jump in and help. Right? And they're at the, you know, this age, they're really self-centered and selfish, and their world, their microcosm is their, you know, entire world. And so it's really hard for them to see, you know, parents' needs. Sadly, I think that is. And you have someone who's ADHD, which means, you know, if you are not, Stephanie, ADD or ADHD, you probably can't appreciate how hard it is for a kid like this to focus and to filter out things that bombard him. So one of the things these kids often do is you find them, I mean, just kids in general, you know, on their devices, which makes it worse. Mm-hmm. It makes the ADD worse, but it's and they get very obsessive. Right? And so it's painful almost for them to disengage. And so it's painful. And then you're asking him to disengage to do the dishes. Right?
Well, and also think of how hard it is to have attention deficit disorder, be a teenager, mm-hmm. and to be running the family the way he's running your whole family.
Yeah.
He's in charge of everything. He determines what the mood is going to be. He determines whether there will be peace or not. That's really hard for a guy his age to take on. And essentially, what we have to do is get back control of the family so that at least he doesn't have that burden that has been allowed to have there. That's our first thing.
One of the things about adolescents is, and children too, is their behavior has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And his behavior has a purpose in the way he is living his life. And you've got to understand that purpose and then come alongside of it and redirect it. One of the things I would do is I would talk with him when there isn't a problem about the problem. And say, you know, in the future, what we're going to do is this, unless you feel something else we should do that would be more helpful for you. And get him involved in the process of analyzing what's going on and determining what the outcomes are going to be or what the consequences will be with things. And then when you enforce it, you can enforce it very unemotionally. It's just like you can even be sad that we have to enforce it because we agreed that this is what's going to happen if this happens.
You and your husband need to get some very, very good help mm-hmm. in getting on board with each other and being willing to enforce one of the toughest consequences ever that brings compliance. And here it is. This has to become your home, not his.
Mm-hmm.
Not your husband's. I mean, his and not your. It has to be your husband's home and not his also. And so you have to be at a point where either, son, you can live in our home and contribute to making it a wonderful, peaceful place to live, or you can't live here. Now, we've shown that the way it's been going doesn't work for anybody, not for you, not for us. So we're not going to do that anymore. The question is whether or not you can now live the way it needs to be, because we're not going to let it get any worse. Okay?
Well, we've been there, and we kind of have communicated that to him.
Okay.
Well, you kind of haven't done anything about it, though, right? So he doesn't think you're serious.
Yeah. So at what point, and I guess that becomes the question, at mm-hmm. what point do you decide, okay, this is it? You know, you're showing that you don't want to live here in the house by your rebellion.
So in within,
now you're leaving.
Within, we're going to give you 30 days to figure out, and you can work with the therapist that you refuse to work with. You can work with this therapist for 30 days, figure out how to fix this with that therapist, and at the end of the 30 days, we're going to evaluate. And here's look at the brochure. This is where you'll be staying. This is where we're going to send you. You know, here's how much it's going to cost us, and so that he knows you're not faking it. You're serious.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, though, that you and your husband need to go meet with a therapist.
Yeah.
And
definitely
get some input for, you know, how to proceed. You know, where are things getting stuck? This kid is really angry, too. Mm-hmm. And he's showing you every which way how angry he is. So there's something going on in the dynamics here where, like Steve is saying, he's been given too much power. And kids like this kind of just,
take it.
You know, it's not like you're handing it over. They just take it. And Stephanie, with you, your goal is peace and harmony. So, you know, this kid knows that. And look what he's doing. He's doing the opposite of giving you peace and harmony. So that's where you've got to be willing to mix it up a bit to help him. And then, but then there also has to be some things in it for him to set up a system. And, you know, like I like using a contract that a kid helps you with, and you spell everything out so that they can see, right? And then there's some rewards built in there. Like maybe they get, you know, whatever's valuable to him, whether it be money or screen time. You know, you do an hour of helping out at home, this is what you get. You don't do the hour, mm-hmm. you don't get the reward. Simple as that, right? And if it's something they want, it's more motivating. So you're not saying to them, you know, you don't get anything you want here, and this is a dictatorship. No, it's a family, and it's a give and take.
And he mm-hmm. needs to also understand that if there is any physical mm-hmm. violence, if he hits you, you are going to call the police.
Right.
See, it's got to be different here.
Got to be desperate. It's a desperate situation, and you got to have desperate means.
But the beginning is you and your husband coming together and deciding that you're going to follow the same path. That's what where you have to be. I'm going to send you take your life back. I hope that's going to be something that will help you see that you are being owned by your own child, and it's getting nobody anywhere.
And there are parent controls that you can put on the phone that you pay for, right, that shuts it down at a certain time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We're pulling for you. Sorry you're having to go through this.
Difficult. Yeah.
But sometimes parents decide that it can't be this way anymore, and it's the beginning of a new relationship between husband and wife. And so the catastrophe can really lead to something powerful and good, and that's what we're hoping is going to happen here. But
right.
You're going to have to do some things you're uncomfortable with doing.
And Steve, it's a shifting the mindset of realizing that you do have power without getting into power struggles.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't want to get into power struggles.
Well, they're already in power struggles.
Right, they are. So you have to step out of those, but realize that you do have power. And this, you're not waiting for your kid to give you permission.
Exactly.
Right?
All right. Really, really glad that you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, we want to help you. And we've got some amazing, amazing workshops that could help you. Every Man's Battle is it's this Friday, 30th. Why don't you go? Get that taken care of. Finding Freedom, January the 25th. Intimacy in Marriage. Boy, situation's much worse than this. Couples come together. It's never the same. That's the 15th. And then March 1st, Restore. And we're going to go to Israel, March the 16th. We'd sure love to have you come and join us for that. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of New Life Live. Glad you've joined us today. And I hope that something that we say could change everything or something for you to make it better. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Let's go to Winston, Boise, Idaho. Hey, Winston, how you doing?
Hey, oh, good. Guys, really thank you for taking my call here.
Sure.
This is kind of a different relationship question, but it is still a relationship issue. You probably haven't had a call like this, very similar to this, but it has to do with a fence and a lock issue boundary. I'll give you a little context and then kind of ask the question. But my wife and I moved out to some very rural property. It had been in our family for many years. We decided to live here. And one of our boarders, we boundary an old ranching family, been here since like the 1800s. And we tried to make friends with them. We've been kind of missionary feeling to them. And we had a situation where they wanted to get into my place for some work they were doing. And we had a lock there that they didn't have access to because it's the gate we own. But they wanted to get in, and they threatened to tear down my fence if I didn't give them the combo. And so I did that, and their legal assumptions were incorrect. They threatened with violence to tear it down and kind of treacherizing the relationship that I'd built up, that we had built up.
You thought you had built up.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, and, you know, it's kind of weird because there's no real law here. There's no policeman you can call. They kind of are wedded with the authorities that are, you know, there's a very small town not that far. And, you know, they're bullies. I've heard stories. I mean, people have been killed over fence lines out here. That's just the way it is. It's kind of like the 1870s or something. But so it's really been bothering us because they don't need that access. They can have access to that through to their property for another way. And we went to a lawyer. We got a lawyer on this, the only lawyer that really deals with this stuff. And he said that you're absolutely correct. He reviewed the documents, and you are absolutely correct, and you own that property. They assumed that they did as well, but it's not in there. And so he was going to write a letter, and, you know, he was willing to do that. But then he said, you know what, I think he heard of the family and does not. He said, you know, I don't do well in conflict, so I think I'm going to file myself out of this
He's
case.
He's an attorney.
So, yeah, the attorney said that.
That's kind of
so we're like, okay.
So the question for us would be
find
what?
Another one. But what, the question, basically is how to take our lock back. Not our life, but our lock back.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, and we don't know how to approach this because they're bullies. We've had evidence that they've snuck in our place and they've kind of tampered with our property. They've cut some locks off just to make a statement. And every time we see them on the road, you know, we try to, you know, avoid them.
Okay. All right. But you want to know how to make it better. Is that right?
Yeah, it's tapping into a fear of mine. Maybe that goes back to bullying back in childhood. And
sure.
And I just, you know, I don't want to have a conflict. Like you were saying earlier, I heard, I think Sherry said that power without having a power struggle.
Jill.
So.
Jill said
kind of
that.
A good way of putting it.
Yeah. Okay. So you want us to help you make an impossible situation better. I'll give you one angle on this, okay?
Yeah.
And one angle is that you have to make a decision as a family of how important this is. And if you come up with, there's nothing wrong with coming up with, our peace of mind is more important than a piece of property. Let them kind of act like it's theirs. That's okay if that's what you decide. You can also decide you have to make a stand or they're going to be living in your backyard, and that's okay too. But you have to decide, given the reality and the history, you know, are you poking a giant? I guess that's a way to look at it. You know, if you really go after them, do they have the ability to burn your house down? I mean, that's kind of the extreme, right?
Right.
So I would really look at that and decide whether or not there is any good outcome here. And have you talked with anybody from that family? Any person that might be willing to be reasonable?
I made an effort this summer. It took me weeks to get psyched up. I feel like I was going into a spider's web. But I did talk to the family father, and he was behind it. And we had a decent talk. It was very nervous. But I did tell him, I said, you know, the way I left it is, and the lawyer kind of said, listen, you know, if they want to have access, make sure you're the one that's letting them have it, not that they're taking it. In other words, you're allowing them, you know, and you have to decide, like you were saying, you want to, you want to get along with people. You know, that you have to learn to get along with people out here. And yet still, because this is still a might is right area. People only respect strength. If you're weak, you're done. People leave.
Yeah.
So we're trying to find that balance. But I feel like if I concede, you know, they've won. And they know that. And they've got a psychological advantage, but they've taken over us, on us, and I just don't like it. It keeps us up at night,
yeah.
You know, all the time that they have won by those means,
and
our friendship kind of to their advantage.
And Winston, so, what have they won? Is this a property that they're passing through to get to theirs, or is this actually part of your property?
It's on a corner of, yeah, they have a lot of acres. It's on one corner, and they just want to have access to this when they need it.
All right, hold on.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and you know, we haven't had a call like this that I remember. Louisiana Purchase was one of the calls kind of similar to this. But as we talked at the break, Dave, one of the wisest people I know, came up with, I think, maybe your best option in the midst of not having many very good options at all. So, Dave, you want to just share that, what you're thinking there?
I would get you that your attorney friend to write up a contract that recognizes your ownership of the property but gives them the right to access the property. It does several things. One is it affirms your right to it and your ownership of the land. And secondly, it's like what Jesus says: if somebody asks you to walk a mile with them, walk 2 miles. You know, if they want your coat, give them your cloak as well. Go beyond what they're asking for and giving them the permission, but making sure that the ownership is. And even if they don't sign it, you have a written
record that you attempted.
Records it and date it and that and well, then just. Be generous in what you do.
Especially if it's not a part of the property that you're actually using.
Yeah.
Right, or are
right.
in need of.
Well, two factors there, just little information.
Okay.
Good thought. I appreciate it. But they outsourced that lock to somebody else, and somebody else is allowed that went through that we saw recently.
Mm.
So effectively, we've lost control of something that we own. And they can come on our place. We don't like that. Number two, there's a law called adverse possession, where if somebody keeps that on there for a certain amount of years,
yeah,
then
that's why you have to have the contract
on that.
That's why you have to have the contract.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, if they don't sign it, if they don't sign it, then you may have to decide.
Just gonna be squatters.
Two things. Mm-hmm. You may have to. I think you got three options then. fight them tooth and nail and experience the consequence of that. Secondly, let them have it. Thirdly, move.
Yeah. That's what they want us to do. They want to buy this place.
Well, those are your three options right there. You got three of them. Let them have it. Fight them tooth and nail to the best that you can, or move. I don't know which one of those options I'd take, but I know a lot of people whose lives are really messed up because some bad people are their neighbors.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's very sad, and I would be in deep, continue, constant prayer. And so sorry that this is happening.
Right. Well, and don't you think, though, Steve, also reaching out to them? I mean, I kind of want to say I'm not sure how we got off on the wrong foot. You know, we were really trying to befriend you. Where did we go wrong? And maybe that's naive. I don't know. But I would be trying to appeal to their better sense, right, as people, instead of just being their adversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that helps.
Kind of kill them with kindness.
Some, how? Yeah, but don't kill them. But you're saying be kind. So
yeah, exactly.
I wish we had better advice, but
it's a tough one.
As you know, it's an almost impossible situation, and I hope and pray that something good. And anytime you find that there's somebody around that just might be the person that could intervene, that might have some kind of ability to speak some kind of truth to them, boy, that would be fantastic if that could happen. But we sure know that that's probably not very likely because they're really crummy neighbors. So sorry.
Well, they just want what
this.
They want, and they don't really
they
care.
Do. Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. I'll send you take your life back, and like you say, yours is take your fence back. But it does help you deal with stuff like this so you're not reacting all the time. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, how you doing?
Doing good, Steve. Thanks.
You are welcome. Well, how are we doing here? We've got a match.
Yeah,
we're coming in on our last days to match it.
Well, I'm thinking, today is what, Black Friday? Isn't that what they refer this to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I heard on the radio just a day or two ago the guy talking about the two newest holidays we have, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And he was serious, calling them holidays. It just, well, anyway, that's beside the point.
Don't forget that the only way that it becomes, it says this, this is the time where guys who have retail outlets, they finally get into the black. And you don't want you going into the red so that they can go into the black. That's the main
there
thing.
There you go. But we have a matching gift, $80,000. We've made good progress on it. But we still have a ways to go. We've got a week to go. And so we're asking if you would help us meet the match, $80,000. You can do it by going online. You could call us at 800 New Life. There's still even time to put something in the mail to New Life at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609.
Isn't Tuesday Giving Tuesday after
I
Cyber
think so.
Monday? Right? So anything you didn't spend, right, then you give?
But I want to remind everybody why we are seeking support, and I want to have Terry play a testimony of Raj.
Let's hear this.
I wanted to share the impact this organization, New Life, has had over me, my life, and my marriage in the course of this year.
Hmm.
I originally come from India. I'm sure my accent gave it away. I grew up with a lot of pornography addiction. It was just prevalent there. And I'm entering this marriage assuming that watching porn is just normal for men and marriage is going to fix it. I mean, you just get sex anytime, no restrictions, and that's the solution. But little did I know how naive I was. As soon as I got married, my behaviors, my actions did not change. And I came to my senses that I need to fix myself. That's when I started seeking some answers. I read the book, Every Man's Battle, which said, hey, there's also a workshop we do, which is called Every Man's Battle. And so I went to the Every Man's Battle workshop. And in all transparency, I am not of Christian faith, but I wanted to go in because here are a group of guys and girls. They're trying to teach something, and I want to learn what's behind there. What are they trying to teach? There's something valuable there. And I, in fact, even before I registered for the workshop, I called in and I checked, hey, I want to make sure I'm not a Christian. Can I still come in and attend? And the lady was very sweet, kind. She said, yes, you're welcome. I mean, we're not, it's Christian-based, you should know that, but anybody's welcome. And I show up there, and my whole definition of sex, sexuality was so distorted in my head. He just put it all together. He fixed my head. And then we decided that a good next step for us is to come here to this workshop as a couple and learn what is marriage, what's the right way to do it. And you all have no idea how grateful I feel for what you have done for me, for my family, for my marriage, and for my future. And I don't think I can ever say enough words or do enough for you to say how grateful I am.
Wow. Isn't that something?
So grateful for every person that has ever supported this ministry that would allow us to minister to someone like him. And, oh, my goodness, when he was telling me his story, his wife was simply beaming over what has happened in his life and their lives.
So that's why we ask your support. That's why we ask for you to come aboard, help us meet this matching gift. It doesn't matter how much you give. It's the spirit in which you give it, and the cheerfulness and the desire to want to see God continue to work through what we do here at New Life. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing what happens, and you can help keep it going. We've done it for 30 years. We want to do it for year 31 and on and on and on. So please help us finish this month strong.
Yeah. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And maybe you've never done it before, but become part of the giving family of New Life, 1-800.
And Steve, one other thing. I've had people tell me, well, I want to support a ministry that is really reaching out to show people what Christ is and who he does so they become Christian. And what Raj experienced, what everybody experiences at our workshops, let alone on this radio program, is Christ in action. Mm-hmm. He was loved on by the people in his group, by his counselor, by you, the presenter. It was just he experienced God's Holy Spirit in action. And so, if you want to support something that is God in action, as well as presenting what the message of Christ is, this is the ministry to do it.
Mm-hmm. And he knows he's not a Christian yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're very upfront.
We've got a pool going what month he'll join.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you can help us or if you need some help. We'll go to the phones right after this. Glad you're with us. Thanks, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Help us if you can. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th. And we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I'm so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my
husband. How did we become this distant? I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. Right now, let's go to Lori, Columbia, South Carolina. Listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. Glad she does. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question that concerns my marriage. I have been married for 32 years. My husband's basically been going through a severe midlife crisis for the last 3.5 years. It's been extremely difficult for me because he's, along with all the signs and symptoms of a midlife crisis, he's also having an emotional affair with somebody he works with. He refuses to go to counseling. We started out going to counseling, and he stopped going to counseling. He said that the counselor was on my side and that, you know, he felt like he was being picked on in the counseling session, so he stopped going. I'm going to a very good Christian counselor by myself who I have offered to him to go with me. He refuses. This has been very, very hard on me, just physically. Mm-hmm. It's just worn me down, and I really don't know what else to do
Help us understand this. So you know he's in this emotional affair, and is he saying, I just need this for
me?
Yeah,
what is he saying about it?
Yeah.
Well, he's denying it, even though I've seen the text messages on his phone. Mm-hmm. He denied it for almost 2.5-3 years, and recently he said, well, you know, we are friends, we're just friends, which he had said, we're not friends, I don't even see this woman, I don't know anything about her, and of course I found out differently from the text messages.
Okay, so you essentially are dealing with a guy that's in denial about this. Do you know this woman? Have you ever spoken with her?
Well, she works with him. I don't personally know her. I know what she looks like. That's about it. I don't personally know her.
Hmm. Okay. Well, let's start with Jill.
Do you ever show up at work? I don't know what kind of job he does, but do you have a presence there?
Well, I tried to have a presence there, and I used to show up at work, but I stopped going over there. It's just an atmosphere of I don't like being in that atmosphere. I used to be invited to company functions over there. He no longer wants me there. It's an environment that makes me very uncomfortable.
Because of her
and him. I mean, he's very emotionally detached from me.
Yeah,
and he just doesn't really want me in any part of his life, including work. And I feel that, and it's very uncomfortable for me to be there.
Right.
I don't even try to go anymore.
All right. So, what's the question for us?
Well, I I don't know what to do. My therapist has told me that he's exhibiting many narcissistic behaviors that probably are not going to change. And if he's not going to go to counseling and he's not interested in putting the marriage together, then maybe I need to think about what I need to do for my own health. And I'm just asking, what do I do? I've never been for divorce or separation, but quite honestly, after 3.5 years of this, I just don't know what else to do.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're calling us, because I'm thinking that you're essentially saying what you have done, absolutely, you've proven, doesn't work, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a great, great place to be when you become willing to do something different. But see, if you've listened to our program much, we think it's not just, you know, God hates divorce. I think God also hates it when we enable or even perpetuate evil being done in our own home. And so what mm-hmm. you don't want to be is an enabler of his or an encourager of his evil deeds, nor train him to believe that whatever he does, you're just going to sit back and let it happen. And I think that's kind of what he's thinking is true. You're not going to do anything differently, and that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. And I'll let we'll start with you, Dave. What do you think would be something she could do in a different way that might make things better?
Well, I keep thinking of Jesus' words, if you want to save your life, you got to be willing to lose it. And if you put marriage instead of life in there, if you want to save your marriage, you got to be willing to lose it. Because in essence, you've lost a lot of it already because of the way he's acting and behaving. And I wouldn't be surprised if the relationship isn't more than what you think, because he's certainly not going to tell you. But somehow you've got to draw a line and say, enough's enough. You need to move out, and we need to separate. And talk to your counselor about how to do that so that it's not a dead end, that it has an open end to it that can bring you back together, because that's one of the dangers of separating, is that it frees him to go on and develop his own life, and that's what he's doing anyway. So I don't think there's much risk for you. But to say that enough is enough, we're done with the charade. We either get our marriage together or you move out, and I'll give you to the end of the month to decide what you want to do. See what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that you've mm-hmm. kind of let this go for this long means that doing that would be almost impossible for you to do.
Well,
unless you're at a point where you're fed up, you know. And I wonder, what has he been saying all along? Do you ask him, what do you want here? Because this isn't working for me.
Well, he's not able to, I don't know if it's just his narcissism or he's just totally detached from the marriage, but I cannot have any satisfactory conversations about our relationship at all with him. He does what he wants
Well,
he goes where he wants to.
Talk with your counselor about how to get his attention and ask him to leave.
Yeah.
And that you're still committed to the marriage, but he needs to leave because he's got to get his head straight.
Yeah. Let me send you Take Your Life Back. It's going to help you with some stuff to do. I wish we had mm-hmm. more time, but really, when something like this has gone on so long, you really do need somebody to come along with you and now plot a new course and help you on an ongoing basis as to what is this new course going to look like day by day. And, you know, anybody else, if you're in a situation like this, don't think that you're doing what God wants you to do just by hanging in there. That isn't it. God doesn't honor just keeping the peace rather than making the peace. Well, hang on. If you're on the line, we've got another program to do here. We'll get to you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.